Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ Dhammaṃ Sanghaṃ Namassāmi. I wanted to talk more about metta, which we often translate as loving kindness, or sometimes it's translated as goodwill or unconditioned love. And I wanted to start with a reading from a great being, Martin Luther King Jr. He was a Christian minister, and this is an excerpt of a talk about agape, a Greek word. It's universal love or unconditioned love, or sometimes it's called God's love in Christian terms. But it's metta. So I really appreciate how he explains it in a powerful way in living in a very difficult situation. Agape is more than romantic love. It is more than friendship. Agape is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill toward all men. Agape is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say, it is the love of God operating in the human heart. When you rise to love on this level, you love all men, not because you like them, not because their ways appeal to you. You love them because God loves them. This is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And I'm happy that he didn't say, like your enemies, because there are some people I find it pretty difficult to like. Liking is an affectionate emotion, and I can't like anybody who would bomb my home. I can't like anyone who would exploit me. I can't like anybody who would trample over me with injustices. I can't like them. I can't like anyone who threatens to kill me day in and day out. But Jesus reminds us that love is greater than liking. Love is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill toward all men. I've seen too much hate to want to hate myself. And I've seen hate on the faces of too many sheriffs, too many white citizens, counselors, and too many Klansmen of the South to want to hate myself. And every time I see it, I say to myself, hate is too great a burden to bear. Somehow we must be able to stand up before our most bitter opponents and say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot, in all good conscience, obey your unjust laws and abide by the unjust system, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And so throw us in jail, and we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and as difficult as it is, we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hour and drag us out on some wayside road and leave us half dead as you beat us, and we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit culturally and otherwise for integration, and we'll still love you. But be assured that we'll wear you down by our capacity to suffer, and one day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process, and our victory will be a double victory. If there is to be peace on earth and goodwill towards men, we must finally believe in the ultimate morality of the universe and believe that all reality hinges on moral foundations. You know, I hear people saying, it feels like there's more hatred in the world today. I don't know if anyone has thought about that, but when I read something like this, or we have a book of a very impressive woman from the Second World War who was a prisoner of war, a Jewish woman, who said very similar things about how she couldn't hate, even though there was so much hatred coming at her. And it's just a reminder that this is very much how the world is. It's not that it's worse today. It might seem like it is. It might seem like there are times where it's stronger in some areas of the world. There seems to be more love and understanding and goodwill at times in some areas of the world. But it's always there, isn't it? There's always a mix of both. Even in the time of the Buddha, there's so many stories in the sutta of conflict. And the Buddha's message to his disciples was very, very clear that we are to direct our mind to this loving kindness, just like in the meditation, how we try to accept the way things are. Doesn't mean that we agree with it, that we think it's moral. We're very clear on where morality is. But sometimes things are out of our control. But can we abide in that loving acceptance? The Buddha said, even if bandits were to saw off your limbs with a two-handled sword, if you have anything but loving kindness in your heart, you're not a disciple of mine. Can you imagine that? Somebody sawing off your limbs. But that's exactly what Martin Luther King Jr. was saying here. People are doing terrible things, but we're going to keep returning that with love because we can see what hatred does to people. Because the world falls apart with hatred, doesn't it? Wars. How do wars get sustained? You have to convince yourself that the enemy is someone very different than you, someone that you need to hate. Do you remember that story during World War I where they were in the trenches and it was Christmas Eve? There was the Germans on one side in the trenches and there was a mixture of Allied forces, the British, there was French, and there was a ceasefire happening. And then I think the Germans started to sing Silent Night. And then the British joined in, the Allied forces joined in, and they all sang, you know, they just were in these trenches. They had just been bombing each other and fighting each other. And then the next thing, they're chanting this Christmas tune. And then in some areas it's said that they, you know, they walked out to the center, because this is this trench warfare. They had this kind of center area, and they came out and they shared little presents with one another and played a game of soccer. And they had a few days of ceasefire. And then after that, it was very hard for some areas to go back to fighting, because how can you want to kill somebody that seems just like you, that seems like just they're just human beings like you? And it was very interesting that after that, the higher-ups, the people who felt that war was important, had to make sure that that never happened again and put a lot of propaganda out to convince you that the people on the other side were terrible, terrible beings, not just beings like you and I, just people who want to be happy. And we can see that during the war that they do this, but isn't this something that we do now? It's so easy to see how groups want to separate and alienate other people, and how whenever there's any separation or alienation, it brings up a lot of fear. Right? And then when we have fear, we want to separate even more. And it's a very negative cycle that we need to be really careful of. But the Buddha had an antidote for this, and that is where we turn inward and we investigate, we meditate, we look at where all of this is coming from. We see that this is a conditioned response coming from the fact that we all grew up differently. We all have different preferences. We all have different likes and dislikes because of our parents, because of our whatever country we grew up in, whatever language we speak, whatever religion we grew up in. It's conditioned us. It's very, very heavenly conditioned us. And the Buddha said, have a look at that conditioning. Take a step back. Can you see how your conditioning is causing you to feel so separate from other people, from other beings, or from certain beings? Well, I'm not like them. I don't vote for that political party, or I don't live in that country, or I don't speak that language, or I don't go to that church or that monastery. And see, that's just our conditioning. And there's that separateness. And if we can just keep reminding ourselves that that's not where freedom is. That separation and that fear is where the suffering is. And whenever we have that habit, because if we all look in ourselves, the ego identity gets created with this, doesn't it? Like, I am a Canadian, I'm a Buddhist nun, I'm a Gen Xer. What's the one after baby boomer? I'm the next one down. Whatever that one is. Okay, clearly I'm not that identified. I can't remember what that is. But, you know, many people are. People have this kind of personality because they're a Gen Z or they're a, you know, it's just a, we love to do that. We love to separate. We love to group ourselves. But when we meditate, when we turn inward, can we really see that and allow that just to pass through? And see that when we allow that to pass through, when we don't pick that up and hold it, that's where the freedom is. And it's practice. It takes practice. It's like we see the heavy conditioning that we have, and some of our conditioning, it's all different. Every one of us will be slightly different, but it's all the same. It's different, but it's the same. We're all going through it. We're all going through emotions arising and ceasing. We're all going through a body that sometimes has pleasant feelings, sometimes has painful feelings, sometimes has neutral feelings. We're all having thoughts conditioned. Human beings, we live with thoughts. Thoughts are very useful for many things. The problem with these thoughts and these emotions in this body is when there's resistance to them. And when there's strife and conflict, when we obsess, you know, we're looking at, we have some beautiful lilacs on our property right now, which is lovely. They're here today. I don't know if they'll be here tomorrow. So you can enjoy them in this moment. But what if I decide I need more and I need them and I've got to go take them off my neighbor's property because, you know, it's really important that I have this. This is where we take these things to excess. Where we lose our basic foundation. Do you know there's in the suttas, the Buddha gives a beautiful sutta. He gives many, but this beautiful sutta, which is the foundation for harmony and community. And it's very interesting because I, Ayame and Endi, named our community Part of the name of our community, I believe, was named after this sutta. It's the Saraniya Dhammas. And so sati saraniya, sati is we have to remember. Sati is like remembering. It's mindfulness and it's remembering. But if we can remember these saraniya dhammas, this is going to be really helpful for us on this practice. Has anyone heard of these saraniya dhammas? These are the dhammas, the qualities of community harmony. And there's six of them. And you know what's very interesting about these six qualities? The first three are about loving kindness. So half of them focus on loving kindness. It's the first one is to have loving kindness through bodily actions, both publicly and privately. So we devote ourselves to actions of loving kindness when we're in front of people, but also when people don't see what we're doing. And then we devote ourselves to acts of loving kindness through our speech. And this is our speech when we're talking to people and when we're talking to ourselves. Okay, I'm not quite sure if that's exactly what he meant, but that's how I'm going to take it, publicly and privately. Because sometimes we talk to ourselves and we don't talk with a lot of loving kindness. So be aware of that, because that affects harmony in the community, because we need to have harmony within ourselves to have harmony within the community. So loving kindness by speech, by action, loving kindness by thoughts. Where do we proliferate? Are we getting lost in negative emotions, negative thoughts? Or when we see these coming up, are we letting them go? And are we trying to remind ourselves of the Brahma Viharas, loving kindness, compassion? Compassion for our own suffering, compassion for the suffering of others. Joy. Joy in the good things in life. Joy in the good things that are happening to ourselves and the people around us. And equanimity. So instead of thoughts of ill will, of harming, of greed, of jealousy. These are all going to arise. They're going to arise because of our conditioning. We're not saying to become perfect. It's very, very hard to all of a sudden drop all of our conditioning. But can we see that conditioning, and can we do our best to not get lost in it, to not create an ego identity around it, to be at peace with it, and to, if it does come up in the mind, as soon as we realize we're chewing on it, proliferating on it, can we try and let that go? Can we try and redirect? And can we stop it from coming out into action and speech? So there's this foundation of loving kindness for community harmony. And when we have that foundation of loving kindness, it's very easy, or it's easier, it is very easy then when we really have this foundation for the next three. And the next one is with whatever we receive, this is for monastic community, these were set, but whatever we receive, may we generously share it with those of us in community. Whether it's food in our alms bowl, requisites, may we be quite joyfully able to share this with the people in our community and those around us. This is so important, so valuable. And it's a wonderful to have this structure in community where and this form of Vinaya that we have where we don't handle money and we try and minimize the personal possessions and really try to keep this sense of this is a shared space and We're trying to upkeep this space for all who can use it here as a sanctuary. Try not to take it as my personal space, but something that's shared with the community and the food shared with the community and the afternoon treats shared with the community. Those tonics were allowed in the afternoon. Make sure that everyone is getting them. So that's number four, is the generosity. Number five is to really uphold our virtue, our moral integrity. Keep our precepts. Don't kill, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. And then, of course, we don't take intoxicants in the mind. These are the five precepts. The intoxicants make it much easier for you to fall into any of these lying, cheating, stealing, killing, when we're not as mindful. So we keep a very strong moral integrity within the community. For the monastics, we have many rules around really keeping that integrity high. And everyone who's here right now is sharing in these eight precepts, and we're all trying our best. And this is all founded on this basis of love and kindness. And of course, the last Saraniya Dhamma is right view. It's very, very hard to have community harmony if the view of what we're doing here is not consistent. Like if you're running a country, you have a foundation, you have a basis, you have a set of laws. We can see this in community too. We have a set of laws, we have rules. But most importantly, we have love and kindness and compassion and a desire to look after each other and care for one another. But in the monastery life, we go to this step. The right view is this view of the Buddha's teachings that does remind us over and over again that the conditioned world, the world that we know it, is impermanent. And when we cling to it, when we cling to the thoughts, when we cling to the emotions, when we cling to the body being a certain way, there's suffering. And when we create an ego identity around it and we take things personally, there's suffering. So what we need to keep doing with right view is see the impermanent nature, see the impersonal nature. See the suffering when we cling and keep trying to let go. So, if we can keep this foundation of loving kindness in our heart, no matter what's going on in the world, because it is sometimes, it's not just sometimes, there's always difficult situations that we're aware of in the world. And the more that the world is smaller through media, the more we see this. The more we see the unfairness of the world, the imperfection of the world. And we have to be careful not to get lost in that. And we have to be careful to remind ourselves to really look at right view and say, you know, the world, this is the nature of the world, but there is a space in my heart, my true nature, where I can turn my attention to, where there's freedom from this. Where I don't have to get lost in it, where I can just see this and see its arising and ceasing and find the silent awareness, the peace that's behind it, that has love at its source. And when I can do that, I'm going to be a happier person. And when I'm a happier person, the people around me are happier. Because I can share that with people. And that's what we do, person by person. It's like Martin Luther King Jr. said, we'll win you over with our soul power. You can win people over with loving kindness. We can do that. We just have to keep doing that and keep reminding. And we have to keep winning ourselves over with loving kindness. See the benefit of it. See the foundation of it. See the joy in it. The world crumbles without this. But it's right here, it's our true nature. We don't need to look for it outside, it's right here. It's a long weekend, many people are off doing whatever they're doing, trying to find happiness, trying to bring happiness into their lives. We're doing it right here. We're just looking in. We don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to go to any cottages with a lot of black flies. It's right here. The happiness is right here. So just keep turning in. Any questions?
I have a question, Aya. When we get caught up in something, whether it's a tough emotion or being frustrated with someone, and we see that we've lost our way with it, what does one do in that moment?
We have to be compassionate to ourselves. Of course, because of our conditioning, there are going to be situations that we find quite challenging and unpleasant. And everyone is going to have that. That's just part of the human experience. So when you make a commitment to keeping the five precepts, and you really determine to make a commitment to this, and you can remind yourself of it, whether it's every day or frequently, what that does is when these emotions come up, it helps with the speech and the actions that are coming out of you when a strong emotion of anger or ill will or jealousy or something are coming up. So when we have that restraint of precepts, it's a real protection for us from causing more harm through actions and speech. I think it's easier with the actions because we also live in a country where it's bad to hit people and kill people and things like that. Like there's a lot of external conditioning we have that's really bad. But speech in our society, you can get away with a lot of speech. And in fact, there's crazy speech going on that's been very acceptable in society. So we have to make that strong commitment to ourselves to really try and stop the speech when it's getting unskillful. We're not always perfect with that. So we have to have compassion. And remember, as soon as the mindfulness comes in, like I'm lost, as soon as it comes in, you have to just be in the present moment and realize whatever's happened in the past, there's nothing I can do about that. There's no point feeling guilty about it. But I do have a choice of what I can do right now. So I can stop as soon as I realize it. And sometimes in the moment, just not talking, not doing anything is a really good way to deal with it because you're not ready to feel the loving kindness. So you just do your best to take that moment. Just keep trying to be in the present and try not to say, oh, I'm such a bad person. Look at me, I've done it again. You could call that the second arrow of suffering. There's the arrow of this unpleasant feeling. That's a kind of suffering, but we don't have to have the really painful suffering of creating an ego identity around it. And actually, when we don't create an ego identity around it, that first suffering really, it's much less of a problem for us. So stay in the present moment. Watch your actions and speech. And then see if you can just remind yourself, impermanent, this is coming up because of conditioning, there's a kama coming up, and sometimes kamas are painful, I know this, and can I abide in this? Can I find some peace and contentment in it?
Thank you very much.
And forgive yourself. That comes along with compassion. Forgive yourself, but also can you forgive either the person or the situation that's happening?
I have a question. I go into prisons and I really learn a lot. And I also, when I'm speaking to people that often if you know, they haven't had a whole lot of background in these teachings, and what they begin to notice is how people are not compassionate to them. But they don't notice how they're not being compassionate. They're not making that next leap to see how their response is not itself kind.
Right.
Ideas on how you help people see that.
I really like how Martin Luther King Jr. said it. He said, "I've seen too much hate to want to hate myself." And that's a really powerful one. It's such a good reminder when you've seen the lack of compassion in other people, why would you want that for yourself? We realize that when we can't control the people around us, we could try and have only friends all around us all the time, and yet we would still get irritated, wouldn't we? Because we're not all exactly the same. And even though we might have some views similar, we don't have all our views similar. There would still be irritation, there would still be rubbing. There is no perfection in samsara. We really have to look inward. And it is difficult, but when you see the benefit of kindness in your own heart and see what it's feeling in your own heart, then you want to give that even when you're not getting that back. Certainly there are times where we can control the situations we're in, and obviously if we can control the conditions, that's great, but if we can't control them, then the opportunity is, can we control inward and look inward? So may whatever beautiful work you do be planting a seed for these people. I'm sure Martin Luther King Jr. would tell people over and over again not to hate. And even though they loved him and listened to him, it would have been very, very hard for them not to hate. And this is what we have to do. We just have to give this message over and over and over again until it sinks into the heart. That's what we have to do. And for those who it sinks in, wonderful. And for those who it doesn't sink in, we have to let go too. We just try our best.